And we are excusing the children at this time for Children's Church. So if you're under 60, you can go to Children's Church. And if your parents want to, you can claim your children after church. If you don't want to, don't tell us about it. Just leave. Okay. All right. There's a couple of verses in Mark, chapter 6, that I found very interesting. And I hope you will find interesting. The apostles had been out. Jesus had commissioned them. They had been out preaching, healing, doing all kinds of things that Jesus had been doing. He gave them the power through the Holy Spirit to do those things. They came back and they were excited. They really were excited. God, you know, all kinds of people had gotten saved. People were getting healed. There was just a lot going on. And they were thinking that it was through them rather than through the Holy Spirit. When they came back, we come to verse 30 in chapter 6 of Mark. And it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them," listen to this, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many comings and goings, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Jesus said there is a time, people, to come apart. There is a time when you stop doing what you've been doing on a regular basis and you go aside to spend time with the Lord or spend time with God. Now, most of the time, he sent his disciples out. Jesus had sent the disciples out to minister to the people that God had brought into their lives. And they accomplished what Jesus wanted them to accomplish. And they came back and they were really fired up. What Jesus did then was interesting to me. He called them to come away from the ministry to a retreat, rest. Isn't that interesting? Jesus indicated by his example that it was necessary to take time from work and ministry to rest and recharge our bodies and our souls. When's the last time that you really or actually took time off from your schedule and simply rested and recharged? Usually when we take a vacation, we plan it all out and we get busy. And we are so busy doing stuff that we don't have any time to rest. We're trying to take, oh, this is my day off. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And by the time you're done with that vacation, you need a rest. That's usually the way it works. Now, let's look at what was really going on with Jesus. The men got so busy working. They were working for Jesus that they didn't even have time to eat. And if you don't fuel your body, it's eventually going to, quote, run out of gas. As a pastor, I've gone without meals. And occasionally, and I thought at that time that I was doing what God wanted me to do. But as I look at this verse, and as I look at these verses, I realize I wasn't doing what God wanted. I thought that I was just being a good pastor, but I was wrong. Jesus doesn't want us doing things like that. He didn't want his disciples doing that. He took them away from that kind of a situation. Now, he said, let's go out into a desert place and rest. I was doing a job in Saudi Arabia back in the 1970s, and the bachelor's quarters were out in the middle of the desert. I was working in Riyadh, which is the capital of Saudi Arabia. Riyadh is actually the biggest beach in the world. It's 450 miles in any direction till you get to water. So in the mornings, I would walk out over a sand dune out of sight of the BQ and sit down and have my devotions. And it was quiet there. I could rest. I could talk to God. I could listen for God to talk to my heart. And now I understand what he was saying here. Jesus wants us all, every one of you, everyone, myself included, to take time to rest at times, especially when you've been busy. You and I live in a body that God has given to us. We're supposed to be good stewards of that body, and that means that we do not endanger it by taking risks that are unnecessary or foolish. We are not to abuse our bodies by doing things that are beyond our strength or our ability. We should not place our bodies in situations that might bring harm to our bodies. We should treat our bodies for anything in the way of illness or ailment with the proper medical procedures. The disciples had just spent some time, and we don't know how long they were out. They had just spent some time working for the Lord. And I am sure it was with all their energy, with all their abilities that they had. And like I said, the Bible doesn't tell us how long they were out, but we know they were out for a while. And when they got back, the first thing that God wanted them, that Jesus wanted them to do, was to come aside and rest. We don't do that, not normally. We go get busy, and we are busy. We're trying to do all the things and make up for all the time that we were working and doing these other things, and pretty soon there's no time left. We go back home, go back to our regular schedules, and we are pooped. That's not what the Lord wants for us. I like to fish. I love to hunt. But that's not coming aside and getting rest. At least not the kind that God wants for us. In order to prepare for this message, I sat down in my office and I read the four Gospels, all four of them, at one time. You can do that. It takes about an hour to see how many times Jesus came apart and got away from people. Not necessarily just to rest, but to spend time with his Father. Four Gospels are all different. Each one is a different perspective on what Jesus' life was like. And the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all are fairly parallel. They mention the same things. The same thing was of interest, each one. John is different. The Gospel of John is different. And the only time that the Gospel of John mentions getting rest for Christ was the night before he was betrayed and arrested. Jesus knew he was going to need God's strength in his life, just like there are times when you and I know we need God's strength in ours. And those are the times that we should get apart with God and spend time. I thought, as I read the Gospels, I thought, I can go to my office and I can get quiet and I can work on this message. So I came to my office and I sat down, got the computer going, and some people came in. So I had to deal with that. Got back to my office and the phone rang. Had to deal with that. Hung up the church phone, my cell phone rang. Had to deal with that. You know, I couldn't get any time alone with God for being so busy. And you're probably the same way. Your life is probably so busy that you just don't have time to get alone with God and spend that time. And there are times, Jesus said, come apart. Let's go out into the desert and let's get some rest. And there are times you need rest. Our bodies need rest. They're just times. Jesus had quite a ministry. And I don't think that we acknowledge some of the things that he endured for you and I. Jesus started his ministry by coming aside for 40 days. That's how he started his ministry. That's all right, she's going to be a preacher. Jesus started his ministry by coming apart for 40 days and fasting and being alone. And after that, that is the time that the devil tempted him. And all of you, you may not have thought about this, but all of you have mountaintop experiences, times when everything is just perfect, going well, you're happy, no problems. And those are the times that the devil will tempt you to get you off track. Those are the times we are most not resistant, but we are most persuasive. And we have to be careful. So be careful when you have your mountaintop experiences. There's going to be some valleys. And sometimes those valleys get deep. The reason that we're looking at this subject this morning is because I sensed a need in my own life and wondered if the same need was in your life. The focus on time alone with our Heavenly Father is very important. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had a need to spend time with his Father. What do you think you need? Don't you think you need the same time? You do. You need time with your Heavenly Father. He had a need to get alone with God and just communicate with him on a personal level. The problem that prevents that in my own life is life. Probably the same problem you're having. Life gets in the way. I think of something else that I need to do, so I go do that before I take time to rest or come apart. And by the time I get through the day, there have been so many things that have come up, I haven't had that time. That alone time, that one-on-one time with God. Like I said, last Friday morning, I thought maybe I could get some of that time in my office that some people came in. Two different telephones rang. There was just stuff going on all morning long. And when I looked at the clock, it was time for Gabby to get home from school, have lunch. Then we had other things that we had to do. And next time I looked at the clock, it was evening. And I hadn't done any of those things. Maybe your life is like that. Does God, I'm going to ask you some questions now. Our people know that I like questions. Does God or the Holy Spirit ever wake you up in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're awake? You know what's going on? God wants to talk to you. God wants to spend some time with you. And he wants you to spend some time with him. People, God loves you. No matter what's going on in your life, God loves you. Now, we don't always think about that. For those of you who are visitors, I had a tree fall on my car yesterday morning. An oak tree, that big around. It gets bigger every time I tell it. It was about that big around, okay. And the first thing I thought about was, I've got to get that off the car. And I couldn't find anybody to help. You probably get busy with life, different parts of life. And when you get busy with life, you get unbusy with God. And God wants you to take some time with him every day. If you wake up in the middle of the night, there's nothing wrong with going apart and sitting down by yourself and talking to God. And then just take some time to stop and listen and see if your heart, the Holy Spirit talks back. Says, you need to do this. You need to do that. I keep a piece of paper and a pencil handy. Because when I have times like that, I want to write it down. Because if I go back to bed and I wake up, I won't remember it. But I write it down. And if I ever look at that paper again, I know I'm supposed to do that. Could God be talking to you? Could God be calling to you? Could he be saying, I need some time with you. I've got something I want you to do. Does God ever prepare you to do something that he wants you to get done? We need to think about Jesus for just a few minutes. Jesus was God. He was the Son of God, and he had the power of God upon him from the time that he was baptized. And yet, he still needed to spend time with God on a regular basis, and he did. He loved the Mount of Olivet. There was a garden there. You would know the name of the garden because that's where he spent the night before he was arrested with some of his disciples. It was the Garden of Gethsemane. He would go there and pray. He had a prayer place, a place where he went to pray. You need a prayer place. Oh, we talk to God all the time. I talk to God. I thank him all the time for things he permits me to do and things he helps me do. You need a place like that. You need to have that kind of a conversation. In other words, you need to have a regular relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as a standard part of your life. Now, you and I probably pray regularly, but we don't spend long times or long periods of time doing it. We measure our prayer in minutes, not in hours. It's good to have you praying, but what God might be able to do with you if your prayer time were not measured in hours, but all the time, might be different than what's going on right now. I think about George Mueller and Dwight L. Moody, who had a reputation for spending time with God. George Mueller never asked a man for anything. He always went directly to God. He started building orphanages in England in the 1800s. He wound up with over 5,000 orphans to care for in two complexes, all because he prayed to God and only God. So, let's think about the calming effect to just think about, sit still and think about what God wants to do with your life. He has a desire for each one of you. He does have a desire for each one of you, for your life. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, God has a plan for you. And he wants you to execute that plan. There are times when he says, be still and know that I am God. And that means sit still. Don't run around. Don't get so involved in life you don't have any time for God. Sit still and let God talk to you. He will do that. If you're going to do that, then you need to meditate upon your Heavenly Father or spend time listening to him speak to your heart. Like I said, have a paper and pencil ready and write down what he tells you. Prayer is not a one-way conversation, people. Prayer is two-way. Conversation requires two people, one to listen, the other to talk, and then the other one to talk while the first one listens. And God wants to do that with you, and he will do that with you. He is real. He loves you. He wants you to be successful. God put this church here on Dorchester Road for a purpose. We're all part of that purpose. What did God have in mind when he put this church here? Well, it's not the structure. That's not what makes the church. You people are what makes the church. And you don't have to be officially a member of this church to be part of the church. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're part of this church family. And we're glad to have these family get-togethers. Why did God put us here? This church was started in 1980. I think it was 78 or 79. As a starting point. We're 44 years down the road. What does God want us to be doing as a church? Yes, the pastor is supposed to provide leadership, but you're part of this church also. Does God reach out to you? Do you spend time in prayer about the ministry here or what you're doing? And I trust that the answer is going to be yes, I do spend time praying about the ministry that the Lord has for me and the place. What is God telling you? I would like to know that we can do the things that God wants us to do. Now, I don't have all the answers. I cannot answer for you. I can only answer for myself, not individuals. We can accomplish just so much by ourselves. But as a church family, we can do more because there are more of us. As we work together, we have more strength. You pick up one stick, you can break it. You pick up a bunch of sticks and you have strength. You can still break them one at a time. But the whole bundle, you have strength. We can do more as a church family because there are more of us. As we work together, we have more strength. And you might say, I don't have any special skills. And I can't do anything. If you're breathing, then you can do something. God placed you here for a purpose. Let's find out what that might be. And perhaps God would have you bring a friend with you to the church, so that they can be ministered to for the Lord. Some of you can do that. You know, people who need Jesus Christ as Savior or a friend. You would be loving them for the Lord if you brought them with you. I want to see each one of you become successful for the Lord. He will help you to achieve what He has placed you here to achieve. As long as you are breathing, there is something that the Lord wants you to do. Only you know what that mission might be. Your age, or your station in life, doesn't really matter. A 12-year-old can tell a friend about Jesus and what He's done for them. So can a 45-year-old and a 70-year-old, as friends that are in need of Jesus. Bring them with you if you love them. If you don't love them, then leave them alone and let them go to hell all by themselves. Now, people think about that. There is a real place called hell. There are people who are headed there, directly there, because they have rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They may be friends of yours. They may be very nice people. Nice people go to hell too. You want to let them go? Or would you rather fight to have them go to heaven with you? Now, we have some special meetings coming up. We have a meeting on October 20th through 23rd. where Joe Mueller and his family are going to be here. He and his seven children. They're going to stir our hearts for the Lord. Please be here for that. This morning we're going to do something very special. And I have been looking forward to it. And so I'm going to conclude this message. And I'm going to invite a couple of parents up here to the platform to join me. Want to come on up and join me? Bring the baby. You'll have to go get her. She's probably in the nursery. Very early in the reputation and relationship that God had with his chosen people, Israel, he set up a standard for them. When they had a baby born, 8 days into the birth, after the birth, they would bring that child to the temple and they would dedicate that child and the parents to the Lord to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means that they would prepare that child as that child grew up to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. And when they got to the point where they knew the difference between right and wrong, the child would turn to the Lord and ask the Lord to save them, to forgive their sin, to take away the sin, and to come into their heart. But that was done through dedication. You don't leave a child to grow up by themselves. It takes parents. It takes a mother and a father. They're bringing the child in now. Here she comes. Why is she so happy now when she was so unhappy during the service? Come on up. Can I have her, please? Huh? Oh, I get to get you. All right. Oh, I like hugs. Whether they're a big child or... You happy? Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we have a mother and father here who have brought a child into this world. And Father, we want this child to love you. We want this child to know about you. And it is a responsibility of the mother and father to do so, to teach them about this, about the Lord Jesus Christ and about you. And you have put in every heart, Lord, a knowledge of yourself. We ask that you will help this couple raise this child for you, that she might be a tool in your hand, and Father, that she might glorify you and be successful in all the things she does, that they might be successful as they raise this child. Father, give them a special anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to do these things. And we will praise you, Father, for what you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.